Amid an ongoing conversation about race, protests, and the National Football League, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is adding his voice to the mix. In a letter sent to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell this week, the governor writes, quote, "It is time for players in the NFL to stop their protests during the anthem and move on from what has become a divisive political sideshow," end quote. In that same letter, the governor calls on NFL players to instead use their voices to take a stand on domestic violence.
This isn't the first time politics and sports have intersected, but the recent situation over the NFL anthem protests have elicited a debate unlike anything seen recently. So why has this story in particular touched such a nerve with so many people? And what does it say about the ability of athletes to bring about social change?
Douglas Hartman joins us now. He's a professor and the chair of sociology at the University of Minnesota. He's written several books about sports and culture. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, Badger Gopher rivalries notwithstanding.
You're still welcome here in the Badger State.
So Thanks so much.
We just heard about that letter from Governor Scott Walker, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. He wrote to the NFL. First, how unusual is it to have high-profile politicians like a sitting governor weigh in on the actions of players in professional sports leagues?
Well, it's actually not super unusual for political leaders to be involved with sports and talk about social issues, but they usually are not nearly so overt and explicit about it, and definitely try to avoid controversy and build solidarity rather than provoke it.
And Walker's comments came weeks after President Trump, during a rally, was talking about the same issue. Here's some of what he had to say about NFL players protesting during the national anthem.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, "Get that son of a off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired."
So very much not avoiding a controversial political statement there. What did you make of the president's reaction to the protests in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty amazing. I mean, Trump's had a presidency of many unprecedented moments, and from a sport point of view, that was one of them, both being so overt and divisive and even profane. In the context of talking about sports, because presidents talk about sports a lot, but they usually are doing it to try to build consensus and support. So he was really doing something quite different, as he is wont to do.
And this isn't the first time politics has made its way into sports, and you've written and spoken about a lot of past instances that we'll get into in a bit, but are we in unprecedented territory here with what's going on in the NFL?
In recent memory, yes, but in larger historical scope, no. African-American athletes and other supporters have used sport to promote racial advancement a number of times throughout our history, most kind of prominently or famously in the 1960s, but it hasn't happened recently. But in the last couple of years, there's been a definite uptick or even a new wave of athletic activism and awareness in sports.
Why do you think that is?
Well, that's a good question. It's always a little bit of a challenge to explain that. I think a big part of it is about the larger movements for social change around race, the concerns about police brutality, the emergence of Black Lives Matter, even just the reception that President Obama got. I think those things were really consciousness awakening for a lot of athletes who felt compelled to speak out, not only to support those issues, but because I think a number of them feel like otherwise, their prominence as athletes is used to kind of support and sustain the status quo.
But we've gone years without athletes worrying about that, apparently, with athletes steering clear of controversy for a couple decades, really, in a lot of ways. You don't see anything. Is it the Black Lives Matter movement? Is it something happening outside of sports that's really driving them to end that two-decade, not quite silence, but more or less silence on political issues?
Yeah, and it's probably, you know, not just two decades, but three or four decades maybe. But yeah, I think it's not so much what's happening in sport, though there's some of that, you know, like the overt racism of NBA owner Donald Sterling a few years ago, I think was mobilizing for a lot of basketball players. But I think the larger forces are those gathering outside of support in society generally around issues of race. In a lot of ways, you know, a lot of the pressures in the world of sport are for athletes and everyone to not be political. You know, pretty strong kind of beliefs and norms in our culture about the kind of the idea that we should keep sport and politics separate. So it really is a moment of real interest when that norm gets transformed.
Talking to Douglas Hartman, sociologist at the University of Minnesota, looking at the politics of political protest on the sporting field, especially in the NFL, not just in the NFL. Douglas, we've seen Colin Kaepernick really kick off this movement. He is not currently employed in professional sports. Coming into this, I mean, there is a pretty high price potentially to pay for athletes who'd made this decision to publicly protest, wasn't there?
Absolutely. I think that's part of why you didn't see protests in earlier, in more recent decades, is the price that athlete activists, whether it's on racial issues or others, pay is extremely high. Not only kind of the potential of losing their jobs and kind of getting pushed out of their positions, but also for the most famous athletes, the loss of endorsement deals and commercial agreements, where a lot of them really make a lot of money. And I think that those really, they want to shy away from controversy. It's really amazing that so many athletes right now are willing to kind of put that on the shelf and put it at risk and take a stand on some of these social issues.
A lot of the controversy here seems to be on content versus form. The players say, hey, we're protesting, we're drawing attention to racial inequalities, police brutality, they say. People are looking at this and seeing the form of it, the protest during the national anthem, and saying, well, maybe protest somewhere else. You're disrespecting the flag, the nation, troops, veterans. What do you make of that conflict, that clash between those two perspectives?
Well, that's a great way to frame the question, content versus form, because I think a lot of the most recent discussions over the last couple of weeks have focused on the platform or the form and haven't engaged in the real substantive issues about racism and police brutality that some of the athletes want to focus on. I understand that a lot of Americans engage in sport because they don't want to be political. They want to be distracted from that or have kind of some entertainment on the side of it. Where that gets complicated for me is when race comes in, because the sporting arena has celebrated itself for many years, a century really, as being an arena for opportunity and advancement, for racial harmony, for meritocracy and fairness. So for a lot of these athletes, they don't see this as outside of sport. They see this as consistent, the racial concerns as consistent with some of the stands that sport has taken for many years on behalf of racial progress.
Does it make a difference when an athlete protests publicly over an issue like racial injustice?
Well, it definitely gets a lot of attention, and I think that if I don't know that it changes things in a material way or a policy way, but I think it's an example of athletes realizing that their voice is listened to, even if it's not agreed with, and standing up on that stage becomes a way for those concerns to be heard, especially by folks who might not otherwise want to hear it. It is, though, a controversial one. And it can provoke backlash and counter-response as well as support. And I think we're seeing an awful lot of that this fall, that it's really a backlash against the statements, whether you're debating form or content, the backlash against any kind of statement from the black athletes, that's really what comes to the fore. I think the amazing thing is that athletes continue to take that as it comes.
There's another argument about whether it hurts the sport, whether it drives away fans. Some people have pointed toward declines in viewership for the NFL since these protests started, but people are pointing toward declines in viewership for all sports, including a much bigger drop in viewership for NASCAR, which has very publicly said, we're not going to do these kind of flag protests. Does it hurt the sport? Does it hurt viewership when players are protesting?
Well, that's a really great question. It's one that I think a lot of my colleagues around the country who do sports scholarship are trying to figure out. It's hard to say that it's the politics or the protest that's driving that, because as you kind of allude to, the numbers, the ratings are down in a lot of arenas. And like for football, it's hard to separate the racial politics from the concerns about concussions on the one hand, or in college football, issues about players being paid or being able to unionize. So it's hard to say exactly what's driving that. I would say what's definitely at threat for sport is the idea that it has been a kind of sacred space above and beyond politics. And so those old separations or norms that distinguish between sport and politics, those are really under threat right now. I'm not sure exactly how those will hold, if those will hold, and what the larger implications are for American sports fans who've grown up with those ideas.
Douglas Hartman is with us from the University of Minnesota. He's a professor of sociology there. We're looking at the intersection of sports and politics after Governor Walker's recent letter to the NFL, which called on the league to end player protests during the national anthem. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the protests, the political response, including Governor Walker's letter? Can sports and politics exist independently of each other? Do you want to try to keep them separate, or is that impossible in today's day and age? Do you think athletes can or should be a catalyst for social change? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about the increasingly blurry line between sports and politics, what's behind that, and whether or not it can lead to social change. Douglas Hartman is with us. He's a professor and chair of sociology at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the ongoing protests in the NFL, reactions from President Trump and Governor Walker. Do you want to keep politics out of your sports? Do you think we can keep politics and sports separated? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. And Doug, I want to go back to some historical protests you referenced earlier. We're coming up, I think, on the 50-year anniversary of that Olympic protest where some American athletes gave the Black Power salute. Can you remind us what happened then and what the reaction was?
Yeah, you'll have to make sure I stay tight on this. I wrote a whole book on the subject.
Right.
But basically black athletes, Olympic athletes in the late 1960s, were worried that their participation in the Olympics would be used to support people who were against the civil rights movement, like to send a signal that everything was okay, that the success of black athletes reflected the openness of American society. They originally tried to have a boycott. That didn't take hold. But Tommy Smith and John Carlos, who were part of that movement, when they got on the victory stand, they offered the clenched fist salute in kind of recognition of the rights and challenges of black people in American culture. It's an iconic image in Olympic history as well as American history that really, I think, captures the tensions around race and sports and protest, not only in the United States, but in Olympic ceremony.
Can you talk about the reaction from the Olympic Committee and from the American public?
The Olympic Committee hated it because they saw it as bringing politics into this sacred space of sport. Americans in general, especially middle-class Americans, white Americans, tended to see them as villains, as traitors who kind of betrayed the country, who misused the trust of the American athletic establishment to make the U.S. looked bad in front of the world. Interestingly, though, there was a minority of Americans, many African Americans, who actually were quite supportive of the protest because they saw it as true to a tradition of human rights, of social justice, and racial progress, both in the Olympics and through sports. And another way to say that is they didn't think it was political or protest. They thought it was a gesture symbolic of sports' long progressive racial legacy.
Let's bring in our callers now. Elaine is with us in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to remind people that, you know, the athletes that play at that high level, they often are college educated. Most of them have a degree. They care about their communities. And this was a beautiful display, a powerful, peaceful display of a kind of cry out from Colin Kaepernick from San Francisco 49ers originally to bring attention to this emergency in the culture of violence against young black men. And I just think that to disgrace this movement acting like it's some attack on the flag or attack on the military is just a diversion. And both Trump and Walker are using this disgracefully to distract people.
Thanks for the call, Elaine. Doug, what do you think about what she had to say?
Yeah, I think that's a familiar theme. A lot of scholars that study it would say the same kind of thing about the distraction. One other thing I'd mention, where she started talking about how educated and self-aware many athletes are, I think that's absolutely right. And part of what is surprising to a lot of Americans is how this plays against the dumb jock stereotypes that we have of athletes. These are educated, articulate, deeply passionate individuals speaking out as citizens. And I think it's just hard for some Americans to kind of wrap that together with the stereotypes that they have about athletes.
Elaine, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Kathy on the line in Eau Claire. Kathy, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think, Kathy?
Well, I agree with Governor Walker. I think Trump is a little bit too outspoken sometimes. You know, I will say they maybe have a platform to be protesting under, but I just don't think they're doing it in the right arena or stage. The national anthem is in support of the people that fought for our country. I think it's a separate issue from police. I'm not saying they don't have anything to protest about. I'm just saying they're doing it under the wrong platform or stage.
Kathy, thanks for the call. And Doug, Kathy, obviously not alone. A lot of people may feel one way or another about the protests themselves and the cause of the protests, but that national anthem, they're worried about.
Absolutely. That goes back to your content and form question. I'd probably guess, I mean, I haven't done polls on this, that Kathy's opinion on this is probably a pretty dominant one in our culture. I know, like, my whole family, that's really what they think in terms of, in a lot of ways, the it's just not quite the right spot. I understand that. I think it's important to take that into consideration, but also to balance it against kind of the understanding that the athletes have about what they're trying to signal and say. And maybe the other point here is I think sometimes why we feel it's not the right place is because we think that there shouldn't be politics in the world of sports. But I think there's an awful lot of other people who also see the use of anthems and military flyovers and stuff as that's political too. And so it's kind of maybe the other question I might ask about this and challenge everybody to think about is what kinds of political displays or conversations are those that we're willing to celebrate and tolerate versus those that we don't think belong in the sporting arena at all.
Kathy, thanks for the call. We're talking about sports and political protests, the political reaction to the ongoing NFL protests. Doug Hartman is with us, chair of sociology at the University of Minnesota. He's written a lot about these issues. Back to your calls now. Roger is with us in Eau Claire. Roger, hi.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good. What do you think about this?
Well, I just find it strange that they've taken this as the arena to do their platform. You have people that are coming to the event that are paying high dollars, in many cases, to buy the tickets to these events. And then you're sort of taking the stance where you're looking for a small minority of the population that is in that arena that might find this as favorable, where the larger population of the attendees find it to be discouraging and to really keep them from going to the games. I go to 4 or 5 major games a year for either baseball or the NFL, and I see a lot of people that are standing outside that are just tailgating right now and enjoying the actual party of the outdoors and not going into the games. So it just seems kind of strange that they're taking this as their method for trying to get their point across.
Roger, thanks for the call. So, Doug, Roger's saying because of the method that they're using, their point, he thinks, isn't going to land with the intended audience.
Well, I think you might be right that it won't land. I guess there's two things that I think about in the kind of that provoked by Roger's suggestions on that. One is I think that a lot of sports leaders, including owners and managers and many players, have long celebrated sport as an arena for racial progress and advancement. So a lot of these athletes don't think what they're doing should be that controversial given the way that the sport's leadership has often championed itself that way. But the other thing I think that's really important to remember for the athletes who are using this platform is their concern is that a lot of the folks who watch them play pay lots of money to watch them play and take a lot of entertainment from that, that they might take the wrong messages from that and see the success of black athletes as a statement on race in America more generally. And for a lot of black athletes, when you talk to them, that's part of why they feel compelled to do this, is to make sure that their athletic excellence isn't misconstrued as kind of saying that everything's okay with race relations in the United States. Again, this is something a lot of sports fans aren't very interested to engage with, but it's also something that the athletes, who are human beings like the rest of us, feel very strongly about in terms of their voice and the meaning of their performances in our culture.
Briefly, Doug, as we wrap up, this isn't just football. We've seen things go on in the basketball world as that season gets ready to start. Women's basketball, a long tradition of protests there. Women's soccer, we've seen some of that as well. Are we going to be talking about this just briefly for quite a while to come now?
Briefly? Absolutely. I think that's where we're headed with this, not just about race, but a whole lot of issues. And I think we're going to continue to have conversations about what's the right kind of politics, the right way to talk about politics in the context of the sporting world.
Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
That's Douglas Hartman. He's a professor and chair of sociology at the University of Minnesota. He's written a lot of books about sports, culture, and politics. He's working on a new one as we speak.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, it's our weekly look at the latest in national politics, including withdrawal of a nominee for the nation's top drug enforcement official and a threat to challenge Republican senators in primary elections.
We'll find out why a guest says there are two Wisconsins, and now more than ever, he sees a state divided along political and economic lines.
U.S. Democratic Representative Ron Kind joins the show to share his thoughts about tax reform, health care, and other national issues.
That and a look at some of the latest news of the day. It's all coming up tomorrow, right here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's the morning show with Kate Archer Kent. Tomorrow after 8, it's the 50th anniversary of the Dow Chemical protests in Madison, which put Wisconsin at the center of national Vietnam War protests. Kate and her guests look back on the pivotal moment and what it meant for the Vietnam debate. That's tomorrow morning after 8 here on the Ideas Network.
Coming up next, it's the news from NPR and WPR, and then a growing number of counties in Wisconsin are filing lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies over their role in the opioid crisis. We'll talk to a legal expert about what challenges those suits could face. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.